The king said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe? For many are called, but few are chosen." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Recently, I listened to an online lecture about the intersections between the thought of the great medieval theologian St. Thomas Aquinas and the writings of the Southern Gothic novelist Flannery O'Connor. I don't know what you people do for fun. I may not be very good at poker, and I've never played a game of beer pong in my life, but if I'm at a party and someone brings up St. Thomas Aquinas or Flannery O'Connor, I'm going to have a good time. If you know anything about Flannery O'Connor, you probably know that, one, her stories are typically gruesome, disturbing tales of the American South, peopled with frightening misfits, immoral renegades, and nihilistic, antisocial eccentrics. And two, that she was a fiercely devout Roman Catholic. In other words, she's awesome. If you've never read O'Connor, I can't recommend her strongly enough. I assure you, after you get over the initial shock of the abrupt brutality of her stories, you will find that they are laden with deep spiritual truths about God, the human condition, and what it means to follow Jesus in a world that is at once violent and indifferent, a world that is supposedly tolerant and yet deeply suspicious of the other, a world that is both created to be beautiful, peaceful, and resplendent with the glory of God, and yet is too often fractured by selfishness, sin, and death. One way to describe O'Connor's thought is that, in her view, the grace of God always comes to us in the form of a disruption. If contemporary society has largely become indifferent to the fact that we are made in God's image, if, that is, we have let the white noise of our consumerist, materialistic, 24-hour news cycle, stare at my iPhone until my eyes bleed, culture, if we have let the boring violence of everyday life cause us to forget that our world is, in fact, teeming with God's handiwork, then the grace of God, when it does show up, will come to us as a shock. It might even be brutal. It will be disruptive. Throw him into the outer darkness. Many are called, but few are chosen. These words from today's gospel lesson are, without a doubt, a disruption. It is difficult to reconcile our Lord's words in this passage with the image of the Good Shepherd that we are all so fond of. And yet I wonder if we might hear them as we would hear a Flannery O'Connor story. Where might we find an instance of disruptive, shocking grace in this gospel? Over the last few weeks, we have heard a lot about the kingdom of God here at church. The kingdom of God is like a landowner. The kingdom of God is like a vineyard. The kingdom of God will be given to those who produce good fruit. In today's passage, the kingdom of God is compared to a wedding feast given by a king for the wedding of his son. When the king sends out the wedding invitations to the large landowners, the big CEOs and congressmen and congresswomen of the day, they ignore the invitation and return to the humdrum of market life, one to his farm, another to his business. These elites have a market to attend to, you see, and can't be bothered to take the time out of their busy, important, and respectable lives to celebrate at a wedding party. Between a world of supposed endless opportunity to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and make a life for yourself, and a world of endless opportunity for cheap and meaningless consumption. Who really has time for a king at all, much less a party for his son? Who even needs a king? And so the king opens up the invitation to everyone. As the gospel puts it, invitations were sent out to everyone who could be found, both good and bad, so that the banquet hall was filled. If you're looking for some grace in the story, well, there you have it. Don't forget that in the Bible, the wedding feast is a symbol for the great ingathering of God and his people, the giant worship party when we will finally celebrate the fulfillment of the kingdom come, when earth will be as it is in heaven. And notice, the king has invited everyone to the feast, both good and bad. The kingdom of God is not some holy country club or sanctified special interest group. All are invited to the marriage feast where Christ and humanity are reconciled. So there's your grace. God invites everyone, regardless of class, merit, race, or any other distinctive, to become citizens of the kingdom. God's will is for all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Wouldn't it be nice if the parable just ended there? But of course it doesn't. Grace comes with a disruption after all. As the banquet gets going, the king notices someone partaking of the meal who is not wearing a wedding robe. When the guest can give no answer as to why he isn't dressed appropriately, the king has him promptly thrown out of the party. Now, this may seem like a very minor offense to us, nothing that would call for him to be cast into outer darkness. Isn't this just a gross overreaction? In his letter to the Galatians, St. Paul says that in our baptism, we have put on Christ like a garment. In his letter to the Ephesians, he says that Christians wear for their clothes truth, righteousness, and the gospel of peace. And again, in the cosmic wedding banquet that we see in the book of Revelation, the baptized are given white robes that symbolize their good works and their witness to Christ on earth. So it doesn't seem like much of a stretch to suggest that the wedding garment that the king is referring to in the parable, the one that this guest is not wearing, is symbolic of both baptism and the life lived in conformity with Jesus. Since the earliest centuries, the Christian rite of baptism included the candidate coming to the baptismal waters completely naked. After receiving the sacrament of baptism and being raised to walk in the new life of Christ, they were given a white robe. This garment symbolized both their new life, washed clean from sin, but it also symbolized their commitment to live righteously, to extend mercy to others, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to visit the sick. So if you're still paying attention, there's your disruption. God's grace is offered to all, rich and poor, good and bad. But those who choose to freely receive that grace must put on the robe of righteousness. Grace will disrupt your life. Even as we receive the grace of God, we must go out and do the work that he has given us to do. Once we receive God's invitation, we can no longer remain idle. The disruptive grace of God calls us out of the mediocrity and complacency of one empire and into a different kingdom, one marked by a life of charity and action. Today's gospel reminds us that though the emperors of this world may wear no clothes, the citizens of the kingdom of heaven wear wedding garments befitting a bride of Christ, the garments of baptism and of righteousness. In her short story, A Temple of the Holy Ghost, Flannery O'Connor describes a 12-year-old girl who, at an adults-only circus sideshow, spies a circus freak who has some very shocking physical abnormalities. The young girl, O'Connor writes, could hear the freak saying, God made me this way, and I don't dispute it. I am a temple of the Holy Ghost, and a temple of God is a holy thing. The next day, the young girl attends a chapel service at her Catholic school. And at the exact moment that the priest raises the consecrated host containing the body of Jesus, when, as O'Connor writes, the girl realized she was in the presence of God, her mind wanders back to that circus tent, to the quote-unquote freak who cries out, God made me this way. I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. In that moment, God revealed his grace to that little girl. He taught her that all people, good and bad, and freaks especially, are invited to the wedding banquet. He taught her what C.S. Lewis knew to be true when he said that next to the Blessed Sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest object available to your senses. And so we are called today to be disrupted by God's radical grace. We are called to be clothed in righteousness, to see God in our neighbor, to live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. May we then, aided by the grace of God, hear the invitation to become citizens of his kingdom. May we come to the wedding feast clothed in the garment of baptism and of good works. And finally, may we live disruptive, grace-filled lives as temples of the Holy Ghost. For a temple of God is a holy thing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.